Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and the return of Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Yeah, hello, Ken. Hello, everyone. I'm Father Douglas Michael McKay, not MacArthur, and I have returned.
Yeah, 3 weeks without Father Doug makes 1 week. I mean, makes 1 month. Anyway, welcome back, Father.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. A couple quick announcements here. I've been mentioning my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. If you want to check out some of my musings, you can find them there. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It opens after daily mass, which starts at 8:30, so the shrine will be open around 9 o'clock and normally open till 4. On Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock, we pray a rosary by the shrine. All are more than welcome to come and join us. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in 2025. We're currently working on a pilgrimage to Ireland. Our good friend Michael Murphy over there is putting that together. We do have some retreats that are coming up that you might be interested in. June 21st to the 23rd, Kathleen McCarthy, president of In His Sign Catholic Radio, will be out at Malvern for the Archdiocesan Charismatic Conference. There's a men's weekend that I attend every year, August 16th to the 18th, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. Again, that's August 16th to the 18th this year. It's a traditional men's weekend. About 60 to 70% of the guys that attend are in recovery, but anybody's more than welcome to join us this year. We have Father Bryce Lundgren, the cowboy priest, coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to be our retreat director. And we'll have the second Matt Talbot Women's Retreat. It will be September 13th to the 15th out at Malvern. For these three or any other retreats, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or if you have questions, you can reach the retreat house at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. And I forgot to mention it last week, but we do have a date for the golf outing this year. It will take place on October 14th. That's a Monday, October the 14th. We're going back to Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, where we played last year. It was a great event last year, and looking forward to getting back out there again. Right now, we just have a save the date on the website. As soon as we have all the details on sponsorship and registration, we will be sure to let you know. A couple other things that happening this week. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, out at Malvern, will be the Militia Immaculata Village. Things get underway at 7 o'clock with a reading and a talk by Brian Gale on something relevant to the Knights from St. Maximilian Kolbe. And then Father McKay will celebrate Mass at 8 o'clock. We usually wrap up by 9. And we'll talk about the Calyx meetings around the Archdiocese this month, but in particular we have two this weekend, one in my home parish on Saturday morning and one out at Malvern on Sunday evening rather. But we'll give you all the details when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. So let's go ahead and begin with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And this is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Mother Mary and Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And Ken, as we pray the prayer for the deceased, to remember Jack Burns, who passed away yesterday, and we just say, eternal rest grant to Jack, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. It's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour so we can have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back. If God's touched you in a particular way and you want to share it with Father and I and our listeners, by all means, give us a call. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. We're currently in the 10th week of Ordinary Time, and a few saints in the calendar this week. On Sunday the 9th, we celebrated St. Ephrem, Deacon and Doctor of the Church. On Tuesday the 11th, yesterday, St. Barnabas, the Apostle. And on Thursday the 13th, tomorrow, we'll celebrate St. Anthony of Padua, priest and doctor of the church. And I think about St. Anthony tomorrow, and I right away think of when we were in Ireland, Father, and we went to the Franciscan church and all the people that were there. And I never saw so many lilies in one place in my life. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that day very well.
Yeah.
Father Ken.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Father hasn't been with us for a while. We were chatting this morning, and we thought we would start today with a saint from last week, St. Norbert. Of course, Father would have had the Norbertine Fathers in his high school days at St. John Newman High School, and the Norbertines who were over at St. Gabriel's Church for a few decades, Father's home parish. And so St. Norbert was born around the year 1080, and he would die on June the 6th in the year 1134. He found a religious order, and I tried this the last couple times we talked about him. I think it's Premonstratensians. It's easier to just say what they were than Norbertines. And yeah, and there was a lot going on at the time that he founded that order. They were combating a whole bunch of heresies, especially around the Blessed Sacrament. They were trying to revitalize a lot of the faithful who had become indifferent or lukewarm, and then trying to establish peace among the enemies. There was a lot of fighting going on, not just in France where he was, but throughout Europe. But he knew that it wasn't going to be easy, and he had a bunch of great men that would join his order, but he couldn't do anything without God's power. And they found that power in a devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, and it was through that that he and the rest of the Norbertines began to make converts of the heretics. They were able to reconcile numerous enemies, and they were rebuilding the faith in the lukewarm folks. And one of the interesting things is that many of them lived in central houses during the week, and they served in parishes on the weekends. I don't know if that's something we might be looking to adopt here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but began with St. Norbert back in the 12th century. He would become the Archbishop of Magdeburg in central Central Germany Didn't want to do it, but out of obedience was become that archbishop. And that area was half pagan and half Christian. And he worked hard to make converts there until his death on June the 6th in the year 1134. St. Norbert, whose feast day we celebrated last week on June the 6th.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because he only lived to be 53 years old, but really made a remarkable mark in the church. And his zeal, his priesthood, he had such pastoral zeal. He was renowned for his preaching. But he had so much access to wealth. I mean, his father was related to the emperor. So there were estates and money and everything, and I believe it was even studying for the priesthood and taking steps towards it. But so worldly at the time, and where he has his moment of truth and his conversion experience was on the horse, just like Saul, you know, when he was knocked down. We don't really know if Saul was on a horse or not. We always say he was, but that wasn't in the scriptures. But we do know that Norbert was on a horse. And it was a thunderstorm and a flash of lightning, and the horse jumped up and threw Norbert to the ground. And for 1 hour, he was out. And then as he was coming to, he was conversing with the Lord, and he heard these words from Jesus. Turn from evil. Well, first he heard the words. He said to Jesus, what would you have me to do? And then he heard Jesus say, turn from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. And that's what he did. And after that, he went on retreats. And boy, I tell you, just to marry the gospel, the word of God, that he would start doing the fasting, a couple of retreats, you know, really just giving away his possessions. And then he was ordained a priest. And he was such a zeal and on fire. You know, he was just living the gospel, the whole gospel, nothing but the gospel like the saints do, Ken. And yet, that he was trying, even as bishop, as priest, was trying to get his fellow priests, brothers, to live the gospel more sincerely. You know, the materialism in the church, it's always been there, you know, attachments to wealth and things, and, I don't know, expensive dining and God's mansions and homes and all this, and he was just a special call on the priest to really live the gospel more frugally. And boy, they came after him, like they all do, you know. And imagine me getting out there and talking about, you know, sell what you have, give to the poor, and live more frugal life, and be hung up by my thumbs. But nevertheless, you know, we're all free to do that, you know, whatever anybody wants to do, that's their choices. But if you really want to be like Jesus, then we have to live like him. We got to imitate him. He was born in a stable, buried in another man's tomb. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He really spoke about, you know, renouncing the world, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, following him. And he would say, whoever would hold to my gospel, I will reveal myself. All these wonderful graces and experiences of his indwelling presence. You know, man can't live. He can't serve God and mammon, so it's like either one or the other. You know, you can't serve money and God at the same time. You can have either one. You want worldliness, it's yours. You know, but if you want godliness and the superfluities of heaven, you must let go of one of the worlds to have the other one. Let go of the visible world to obtain the invisible world with all the superfluities of heaven. So he started living this frugal life, and he actually dressed in a loincloth, you know, and he'd go barefooted. He sold all of his possessions, gave the money all to the poor, and the only thing he really had was a mule and a mass kit. He had his chalice, water and wine, bread, his breviary, his, you know, sacramentary books like that to celebrate Mass, and off he would go, preaching the gospel throughout. Cold winter, his mule died, and he had two disciples that died. They couldn't keep up with him, with the zeal that he had. But he was always calling for reform. He was strict. When he was made bishop, that he still had the loincloth on, and he came to the bishop's residence. And the porter who answered the door looked at him as a beggar and said, you have to go down the street to where all the other beggars live. And the people was with him. He said, this is our bishop. And Norbert said, "Oh, you know, he knows me better than you know me." You know? So he did. He lived the life of the gospel like all the saints do, proclaimed the gospel and that inner life that the world's missing, that real peace and joy. You know, and that's what he was. He was a peacemaker. He heard those beautiful words from our Lord, words that I'll repeat. Turn from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. Pursue that peace. It's all about peace. I always like to say about the word, you want peace, do penance. The word penance has two ends. So you listeners out there, you do a little penance, take one of the ends. I'll do a little penance, take the other end. And the letters that are left is P-E-A-C-E. Peter Chrysologus said, put peace before every other virtue because God is peace. And you know, that peace, when you seek peace, you're in communion with God. You know, once you live the life of poverty, simplicity, you live the virtuous life, you're united to God. And what you experience is peace. Pope John the 23rd, you know, the Pope of Peace. That's what he spoke about all the time. Peace, peace, peace. It's in that peace that I know when I'm on the right track, Ken, because there's peace in my heart, because I'm in communion with God. And so the salary of living the gospel is peace. It's the peace that the world can't give us. It's more than the absence of war or violence. And the world can't take it away. It's that communion with God. You know, in his will, I find peace. His will is to live the gospel, the whole gospel, nothing but the gospel. We're all called to live that beautiful gospel. But yes, the Norbertines, if I just go back to my high school days, you know, in grade school was always the diocesan priest. The Norbertines came to St. Gabriel's when I was ordained a deacon. That was 81, that's when they came. But my high school experiences were really beautiful. What I really enjoyed the most was Thanksgiving week. You know, we had school Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we were off Thursday and Friday. And Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, all the books went away, and we had half days, and it was a retreat week. And we had lectures. We went to Mass and confession. We listened to some beautiful talks, and I remember those. And what I also remember were the class masses, where we would, the priest, and it was Father Freiberg, I remember, he would have us around the Mass, around the altar. You know? And I felt so close to Jesus. This call of priesthood was being fostered more and more in my heart. But Father Freiberg, I used to even look for him. He took a liking to me. He actually helped me to get in a reading class when I was in high school there because I was in the last book, struggling, never did homework, and, you know, had a hard time, had to repeat high school. But Father Freiberg, he took an interest in me and helping my marks to go up and whatnot. But the Norbertine fathers that were here in those, 40-some years, that, you know, they worked with the poor. And I just, overall, Ken, you remember Father Michael Lee.
Yep.
And I have his chalice, you know, use it at our Mass all the time here in Matt Talbot Chapel. And I always pray for him when I purify, he comes to mind. But I just remember the day, you know, I was like an assistant, really, with Father Lee. I was on the bulletin as an assistant. I would have masses like Saturday night and help him out, and confessions all the time. And they go and retreat. I would do, you know, masses for him there. But we were having dinner, you know, at the rectory, and gunshots. It was like an Uzi, you know, bullets off the wall. And we're under the table. And I remember saying, what can we do? What can we do? That's when the idea of the school that closed, the annex, that we said, let us remodel that. Give us permission to do that. And then we can help people come closer to God. We can have GED programs, have spiritual meetings. And, you know, Calyx was just starting at that time. So all this was happening with Father Lee. And he gave us, you know, the upper hall there, you know. And he was always there. He'd come to our meetings and praying for us all the time. And we went hand in glove. You know? So I was really disappointed when he left here. You know, I went to St. Norbert's as the pastor. But Father Lee, I know he still prays for us from his place in heaven, that he died from the COVID. Actually, He was taking another priest to the hospital, had COVID. He himself caught the virus and died from it. The fatherly, God bless him. St. Norbert, getting back to St. Norbert, there was a prayer. Father Dwyer, he's actually from St. Gabriel's, and he was in the Norbertines and switched over to the diocesan priest. But Father Dwyer's holy card, he was ordained on May 19th, 2012, in remembrance of my ordination to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But this is the prayer that he put in his holy card, and it was the prayer of St. Norbert, and it was the prayer about priest. And I just want to end with that, Ken. He said, this is St. Norbert, "O priest, who are you? You are not from yourself. You are from nothing. You are not for yourself. You are a mediator for men, not pledged to yourself, but espoused to the church, not lord of yourself, but the servant of all. You are not yourself, you are God. What then are you? You are nothing and everything." So beautiful. You know, that we're servants. Jesus, he put it down there. When he got on his feet, wash the apostles' feet, me, the master, wash your feet, how much more should you be washing every other feet? And I always think of that in priesthood. The higher up you go, the more of a servant you become. The Holy Father is a servant to the bishops serve us. We're all servants. We serve people. We don't master anything over them. We serve the people of God. We serve the people like Jesus served us, with peace, joy, with gentleness, with humility, with the virtues, with love beyond telling. That's service. That's a priest. And that was Norbert, and that's all the saints. You know, I've come to serve, not to be served. Jesus, the greatest servant of all, who serves us eternal life, Ken.
Amen. And you know, you tie that into the peace that you were talking about earlier, and that's when we at least that's when I find the peace, is when I'm trying to do my best to figure out what God wants me to do in every situation, and then actually try to do it. And it's when I get in my own head and I'm concerned about things that happened yesterday or worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, getting out of today where the peace is disturbed, and, you know, the people that we get to be around, especially those that have struggled with addiction, you know, we're all just looking for peace. And when we can't find it and don't look for it in God, we try to find that peace in other ways. And, you know, those other ways, you know, don't work. You know, how many people do we know when, especially early in recovery, and they've got the race in mind, and they just can't get the head to stop, and all they want is peace. And yet, slowly over time, as they, you know, start to master the steps and grow that relationship with God, and over time, you know, you usually don't recognize, but you know, you wake up one morning and realize that, you know, your head's not spinning, your heart's not all bent out of shape, that you've actually gotten glimpses, if not extended periods of peace. And that's what we're wired for. And, you know, God, our faith, gives us the tools to achieve it. And we just have to, you know, follow God's will. So my peace was disturbed last week when Dan Burke couldn't be with us, because that's what was going to be the topic in the 5 o'clock hour last week. It gave me an opportunity to spend an hour talking about Matt Talbot, but I'm still looking to get Dan Burke back on to talk about finding peace in the storm. And that's, I think, is the real measure of sobriety, of serenity, when everything around you just seems to be going out of control and you can still maintain some sense of peace. That's when, you know I've arrived, that I've managed to build a relationship that's solid enough with God that despite everything that's going on around us, there's peace. And Now, you were talking a couple of times over the past few days, Father, about not having TV and then catching a glimpse of it while you were on vacation and just seeing all the chaos and anarchy and everything that's going on in the world. And if you want to lose your peace, you know, you can lose it in a heartbeat. Turn on the TV, check in on Facebook or X or any of the other social media platforms, and it won't take you long to get riled. That's for sure. And I have to guard against that. I mean, there's some good things out there, but man, it, as you're looking at the good, the next thing that pops up is the not so good, and so easy to run down a rabbit hole. And the next thing you know, time's going by. You're more upset than you were when you started. And it's, you know, for what? You know, and for what? And I know that it's the evil one that's using that temptation to just draw us out of the peace and get us into that the craziness of the world. And so what a gift it is to be able to recognize that, to, you know, instead of going down that rabbit hole for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours or, you know, days on end, to be able to just take a step back and like, what am I doing here? You know, turn it off, get back to what you should be doing. And, you know, fortunately, I think that's one, you know, that a lot of times in 12-step rooms, you know, they'll say that, you know, really time doesn't matter, or whoever got up the earliest this morning's got the most time. And that's all well and good, but the fact of the matter is the more time that you have and the more experience you have, that when you get into those areas where you recognize that you've lost your peace, that you've lost your serenity, the more times that you've recognized it and found your way back to peace and serenity, the faster that it happens, and you don't spend as much time in the craziness as I did in the past. And so it's that experience and knowing that there are ways that we can achieve peace, that we can find serenity. It's almost, and it's always through God, whether it's through prayer, going to Mass, going to confession, having spiritual conversations, you know, sacred conversations with other people. There's multiple ways for us to find our way back to God and to the peace. And that only comes with experience. You got to try it. You got to do it. And then the key is to remember what to do when your peace gets rattled.
You know, really, that peace, it's so valuable. You were saying when I was down the shore, I go, yeah, there's a TV, let me look at it. And man, I'll tell you, it was the trials for Trump, and it was, you know, it was so ludicrous. It really was. And then Hunter Biden, you know, being tried. And my heart, I really pity politicians and all of them. Our brothers and sisters are so trapped, caught in Satan's web. You know, here, you know, they want power, they got it. They want prestige, they got it. They want more money and more things, they got it. But they have bodyguards, they're going to court, fighting one another. You know, there's no peace in their hearts. They're not in the kingdom, they're far from it. And they're enslaved, they can't enjoy life. And I pray for them, I really do, and sacrifice for them, that, you know, they would have conversions and see the truth and be set free. And know that real peace that you can't buy in stores or find anywhere else in this world. It's only by living the gospel and being in communion with our Lord, and then the salary is peace. And Norbert was good. He would always speak about the gospel, and he would say, you know, he would retire and he would give himself to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And you put those three together. That's what we use at the gospel for the beginning of Lent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and the reward is the Father who's hidden, and that we must be hidden, not looking for first place, but to be hidden for last place. That's where we find Jesus. And, you know, here's a man, he was a contemplative, Norbert. He would do all that the Lord was asking, and then he would get these lights and this contemplation, this meditation, and then he would preach what he meditated, what he contemplated, and his words be powerful, because it was this pastoral zeal, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him, that this peace that that the Lord told him to seek after is what he did. He sought after that peace, and he found it because he found the Lord in his word, in his gospel word, and Jesus revealed himself to Norbert and all the saints. And they were head over heels in love. They would die a thousand deaths. Just end with this one. I know we're coming to the bottom of the hour, Ken. But Mother Teresa of Calcutta, there was a Dr. Jampolsky, and he was doing a paper on peace. And he was admiring Mother Teresa and watching her and how she spoke and where she would go and taking care of the poor and washing down bodies. And he started to get on to something. You know, he said, you know, I think I know the secret here. He said, Mother, I know you're flying down to Mexico City from Los Angeles. Can I go with you? That can I disaccompany you? Because I really feel that I know your secret about this inner peace that you have. And she said, okay, doctor, you're welcome to fly with me to Mexico. But if you really want to know peace, find out how much it would cost to fly with me from Los Angeles to Mexico City and fly back again. And take that money and give it to the poor. You'll know peace.
Hmm.
You'll know peace because you'll know Jesus. Because whatever we do to the least of his brother, to the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned, the sick, the addicts, we do for him. And we do it out of love, we'll experience peace. Because we'll experience Jesus, and we'll know him, and we'll know that gift of peace from him.
Amen. All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to do it. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and the great return of Father Douglas Michael McKay. Before we go to the phones, just a quick rundown on upcoming Calyx meetings. And also, you hear it mentioned a lot about sponsoring a show. If you care to sponsor this show, you can do it real easy by going to the Our House Ministries website, ourhouseministries.org, and click on Donate. And one of the options there is to sponsor one of the hours here. We'd certainly appreciate that. Calyx, is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays we're in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We begin at 6 p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, which will be next week, June the 18th, we go over to St. Luke's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour that begins at 6 o'clock. We have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, benediction, confessions are heard during that hour. And then we finalize the hour with Matt Talbot prayers. And then at 7 o'clock we have Mass. Again, that's in St. Gabriel's Church on the third Tuesday of each month. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be Thursday, June 20th. The Glenside Unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. That's this coming Saturday, June the 15th. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And the Mass this week is being offered for Calyx member Jim Wren, who passed away the end of or earlier in the year, and we'll be having Mass for him this coming Saturday. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in June is this coming Sunday, June the 16th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They'll meet on Saturday, June the 29th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, go down and visit our friend Sheila, who came up and spent the day with us yesterday in Grace Ferry. They have a unit at St. Matthew's there in Wilmington. They have a 6:15 p.m. Mass, sometimes followed by a Calyx meeting. It depends on how many people showed up. But if you show up, Sheila will have a Calyx meeting for you. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour today is a woman by the name of Connie Marshner. And she's an author and wrote a book called Monastery and the High Cross. For my Irish listeners, if you're going to stick around, you better keep your mind open, because you're going to learn a few things about the Catholic Church in Ireland I guarantee that you weren't aware of. So you're going to want to stick around. So we're going to go to Bob on line two. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
How are you, brother?
How are you?
All right. How are things in Fruitland Park?
Very good. Good to have Father Doug back, huh?
Yeah. It saves my voice. I don't have to talk for 2 hours. So what's on your mind?
It's not an actual odd but God, but it's just another example of God taking care of me. I was out on the lake today, half an hour from my dock. My boat runs on an electric motor. I'm out there, and it died. It just completely died. You know, so I have this little paddle, like a canoe paddle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me an hour and 15 minutes to paddle back to my dock. But the thing is, 25-year-old Bob, I would have been kicking the motor. I would have been kicking the battery. Instead, I'm actually laughing. You know, I think it's kind of funny. And I'm thanking God, because the lake was like glass. There was no wind. There was no waves. It was so easy to paddle back, you know. In fact, a guy at the bridge stopped me and he said, "You need a tow?" I said, "No, I'm almost home now." It was almost fun, you know. And it's like sure, the boat broke down, but if it was normal with the wind and the waves, oh man, it would have been horrendous trying to get back. But the whole lake was just smooth like glass. It was like coasting along. So I just felt that God was taking care of me after he was laughing at me because my battery died.
Nice. That's awesome. So, Father, you get to hear Bob's voice for the first time in a month.
Yeah. Listening to that. I'm thinking these are signs to come home, Ken, for Bob.
That's
going to be a storm.
That's it. Yep, I do want to come home.
Great
I am
story,
getting ready.
Yeah. You find the Lord even in the breakdown of the motor.
Yep.
It's right there.
If I could,
you had
if I could
by
hold on, Bob. Hold on, Bob.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, Father, if I could say something about peace, because, you know, there's that K-N-O-W, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. And then there's N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace, you know. Well, I feel that that's my younger daughter right now. She's really struggling, and it's because she doesn't know Jesus, you know. Yeah. And it's because her mother took Jesus away from her, because she told them all when they turned 18, oh, you don't have to do that stuff anymore, you know. So, and I mean, I know she's in therapy, she's anxious, she's worried, you know, and it's like, if you know Jesus, there's no worry, there's no worry, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us, you know, so, okay. So I'm praying for
those who love God,
yeah,
those who
yeah.
love God, everything turns out for good. Hey, Bob, I'm looking at the little piece that I have in my room that you, I don't know if you carved for me or gave it to me. But I'm looking at it right now. It's sitting on my my electric socket thing, the piece. Yeah, you've seen it before when you were here. But it reminds me of the piece of the King of Peace.
Right, right.
Seek peace and pursue it. Yes.
Yep.
You know,
I actually
you have
bought
peace,
myself
you got,
one.
You got Jesus. You know, we don't say Jesus is. We don't say Jesus has peace. We say He is peace. We don't say
right.
He has joy. He is joy.
Right.
We don't say
right.
He has love. He is love. He's all those virtues
right.
and more. And
right.
that's what's so beautiful. Like it's a, you know, gosh, in His will, I find my peace. When I do what He wants me to do, all is calm, serene, like that lake, Bob. All is beautiful.
That's it. That's it.
Peace,
when the boat
peace,
broke down
peace.
Today, I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried at all.
Yeah.
So,
All right. Great to hear from you, Bob.
Good to hear from you guys.
Miss you, Bob. Come on home.
So, Patrick, thank you. Patrick always keeps me in touch, you know?
Yeah.
So.
We miss all the little treats.
Huh?
Yeah, right? Yeah, Patrick's missing his blueberry muffins. Yeah. So.
All right.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
God
take
bless.
Care.
You too. All right, phone lines are open, 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. I had an honor, God, I've shared a couple times now, but for our listeners, my brother got in touch with me last week and asked me to give my father a call if I'd be able to play a little golf with him one morning this week. And so I reached out to my father, and we were asked him if he wanted to play on Monday, and he made a phone call, and where we normally play, they have golf outings lined up from now until the fall, which is not surprising. A lot of the golf courses on Mondays may be closed to their members, and they open it up to outside organizations, just like In His Sign Catholic Radio will be at Talamore Country Club on Monday, October the 14th. So when we couldn't play golf, I asked Dad if he wanted to go with me to the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown. And, you know, it's been pretty interesting the last couple of months and talking to his sister, my aunt. And they lived at 630 East Chelton Avenue, which is on the next block up from the Miraculous Metal Shrine. And my mother and father would go there regularly in high school because they, you know, told their parents they were going to Novena on a Monday night. And who's going to stop their kid from going to Novena? So it was kind of like date night for them. But my father hadn't been there since he went in the Army in 1958. And so it was first time back. And just, you know, what a great experience. And, you know, if there hadn't been a golf outing, we'd have been on a golf course, which, you know, I often consider golf a spiritual game, but it's not nearly as spiritual as going to the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Mondays. So if you've not been, consider going. If you've not taken anybody recently, I mean, the experience my father had was just, you know, incredible. So whether, you know, you invite somebody that's, you know, 18 or 88, I'm sure that they'll get something out of it. And you never know. You just invite somebody, you might be surprised when they say yes. How about you, Father? Got one?
I do. But just to respond on that, you know, Our Lady's there, that statue, you know, the shrine itself there.
Yeah.
You know, can that altar rail? I remember I was with Father Peter, and he said, you want to see faith? I said, you can't see faith. He said, come on up. put your hands over the altar rail, which is marble, and you can feel how it's worn down, Ken. Mm-hmm. The marble is actually worn down from the inside, and you just get the sense of all the thousands of people that came there desperate, invoking Mary's intercession, squeezing that altar rail, and getting those blessings and graces from her. But that was one of the most powerful honor God things that I experienced in the shrine of Our Lady there. But the feeling that altar rail and feeling that marble worn down so low, you know, yeah. So powerful, you know.
Yeah.
You told me, people of faith.
Yeah, you told me that a while back, and when I take new people there, or people that they haven't felt that, I just say, hey, you want to feel faith? Kneel down there and wrap your hands around that altar rail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just think about all the people there.
Yep.
Throughout those doors.
Yeah. Monday there was
my
a bus.
Honor,
mm-hmm. No, I was just going to say real quick on Monday, you know, since it's become a basilica shrine, I think it's getting more attractive to folks. There was a busload of people there from Maryland when we were there at noon on Monday. So,
yeah.
Word spreading.
Yeah. It's a basilica now, right?
Yep.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, my other guy was with Jack Burns, who passed away yesterday. And, gosh, it happened so quick, Ken, you know, like a couple of months.
Yeah.
And he was always vibrant out there, laughing, waving. You know, you just never know the day or hour. And I remember he was in the hospital, and I couldn't get there, so I called, you know, I talked to him on the telephone. And he was actually in hospice at the time, that quickly. And we talked, and I gave him the blessing over the phone. Thank God for phones. You can do that today. But what happened was the day before he died, like Monday, I went in, and there he was home to die. And he's just there with a few people, Terry, his wife, and surrounded by relatives. And Mary Beth was there, Mary Walter's daughter. And they woke him up, and there I was, you know, with the Blessed Sacrament and there with the oils and the plenary indulgence. Like, he could wake up, you know, and just be smiling. That it's sort of like a glow on him. There was no fear in him. You know, he knew he was dying. He knew where he was going. And I remember my last words to him was, Jack, put a good word in for me when you see God. He kind of smiled. You know? But anyway, I left him, and, you know, we're waiting to hear the from Terry that he had passed away. But the next day, we're doing the Angelus. And you remember, Ken, we prayed for Jack, and I went up to the altar rail at St. Gabriel's where I made my first communion. I always like to remember that, you know. That Talbot Shrine is where I was baptized. Right next to that is where I made my first confession, the altar, my first Mass, confirmed there, you know. I did the profession for the secular Franciscans there. And I guess it's close to 12:30. And I'm going out, and I'm running into Max, you know. I'm always listening to him bouncing his basketball a couple doors down here in the backyard. Great basketball player. He goes to St. Monica's. And so I opened the door. He was right there on the bike, and I said, why don't you come in? We'll make a visit. And there was these little girls there, and they followed in, you know. I don't know if he brought them in. They, you know, they were tagging behind him or what, but they came in. And so I'm showing them, you know, different places in the beautiful Church of St. Gabriel's, the Cathedral of South Philly, showing them the Shrine of Matt Talbot, the different shrines, and showing them how it's Romanesque, and the church is made in the form of a cross with the transepts as his arms. You see the body from the top, an aerial view of a helicopter view, where you would see an actual cross. And then, you know, we prayed in front of the tabernacle, these little ones, and then we went over to the Blessed Mother, and Robbie McGuire's there, and these two little girls, you know, we prayed the Hail Mary, and this little girl starts crying after we pray, and little Lily, you know, and she's sobbing and shaking, and give her a hug. I said, what's the matter, Lily? What's the matter, Lily? And she said, Father, can you pray Hail Mary for my pop-up? And I said, who's your pop-up? And I said, is your pop-up Jack Burns? That's not really her grandfather, but that's what they call Jack, Pop-Pop. I said, sure we can. And Robbie, God bless him, he got up, you know, he takes a dollar out of his pocket, he puts it in the candle rack and takes the lighter, you know, and he gives it to little Lily. He said, Lily, you light it. so Lily gets the light and lights the candle. It takes a little bit of time, you know, because she's shaking a little bit. And then she lights the candle. And then we pray that golden Hail Mary, you know, for Jack, you know. And then, you know, I get the call later on that same day, you know, that Jack died. I think it was around like 1:17. That was the hour of death. You know, that they, those little girls were moved. And little Emmy came in. And she was the other one. They were sisters. Little Emmy was there. And it was just the little ones came, you know. And who brought them in? The Holy Spirit, to say that prayer, that Hail Mary that we've been praying for, Jack, you know, that, you know, at the hour of death, pray for us now, you know. It was fulfilled right there in that golden Hail Mary for Jack. And Jack went home. Was that I, Ken, or was that God bringing those little girls in there to pray for Jack Burns?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And it you know, it's something that, you know, she'll probably remember for the rest of her life, you know.
Yeah, I know I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But even that Max, you know, interesting to see Max and ask him about, you know, how did you, these little girls come in with you? Did you know that, you know, because he prayed with us too. And another young boy, the two basketball players, I really think they're going to go somewhere because they're very talented in basketball. They, you know, Max goes to St. Monica's, he'll be in eighth grade, and now he's thinking about going to Villanova, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's no coincidences, you know. Honor God, all divinely orchestrated, how things just fall right into place.
Amen. You just got to be open to it. And like you said, you just invited them in, and in they went, you know, that simple invitation. That, you know, we can...
And I was talking to the mother last night, Ken, and she said the little girls were saying, Father said we can come to Mass every Tuesday here. They thought it was... they went home and said, we just had Mass.
Ah, yeah.
For pop-up.
Yeah, yeah.
They thought it was for Mass. But I don't know, 3-4 years old, they were very young.
Yeah.
And the grandfather, Ronnie, was outside with the bikes waiting for them to come out. So they weren't by themselves.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe the future daily communicants.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, good stuff. Yeah. All right. We've got about 7 minutes left here.
You know, one of the last things I didn't mention about Norbert, that Norbert, it was, I'm trying to think of the name of the man now comes to me. Oh, yeah, Theodore, he was the Count of Chopin. And he wanted to be a Norbertine, but he just didn't have it, you know. He was always vacillating with marriage and being religious. And Norbert said, look, you know, told him to go out and seek marriage. And he gave him a small white scapular, Ken, with certain rules and devotions to use. Now, St. Dominic picked that up for the third orders, the secular orders of the church, and Francis would pick it up. But it started with St. Norbert with giving that little white scapular to Theobald, with the rule and devotions to use. So all those secular Franciscans out there listening, and that, you know, it all started there, the third orders with St. Norbert.
Very good. All right. Do you want to talk about St. Ephrem for a minute?
Yeah, no callers, though. I'm surprised, you know. I guess nobody missed me, Ken, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know, 3 weeks, maybe we lost them all.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I find that hard to believe. Patrick's always over there typing away for the hour before we get started here with his 120-plus individual text messages. So I'm sure they're listening. Yeah. Just don't.
I hope Robbie McGuire was listening because that was so touching, that moment. You know, I'll never forget it. I don't think Robbie will either.
No. Well, we'll see him on Tuesday when we go over.
Yeah.
All right. On Sunday, obviously on Sundays, we don't normally celebrate the feast days of saints, but if we had this past Sunday, June the 9th, would have been St. Ephrem. And he was a poet, teacher, orator, and a defender of the faith. He's also the only Syriac Christian recognized as a doctor of the church. And one of the things you're going to hear in the 5 o'clock hour is that there were actually 11 popes that were from Syria and the Eastern Church before the end of the 8th century. But Ephraim was the only Syriac Christian recognized as a doctor of the church. He wanted to go after all the false doctrines that were rampant at that time. So this is in the 4th century. He was born around 306, died on June the 9th in the year 373, born in Mesopotamia. Was baptized as a young man, which was not always done back in those days. A lot of folks waited until their deathbed, if they could, to be baptized, because you could only go, have one confession. But apparently he was baptized as a young man. Was a teacher in his native city, and you know, prolific with his pen, did a lot of writing that illuminated his holiness. Wasn't a great scholar, but he did have deep insight and knowledge of the scriptures. And because we only have a few minutes here, Father, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about Ephraim, he was called the harp of the Holy Spirit. He was so steeped in the scriptures and deep insights into the mysteries of God. In fact, his writings would be read in churches, like after the scriptures. They were so powerful that he would write. But he was an earlier St. Francis of Assisi. He ate little, barely, you know, barley bread, few vegetables. He did his best writings in a cave. I could never live in a cave with my allergies, the mold, and the diet. But, you know, with this self-denial that he would give, somehow, some way, it just opened his heart to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And he denied the priesthood out of humility. But he wrote just a little saying that, you know, following text is from his testament. It's a tribute to his holiness, talking about, you know, I guess his death and burial. But, quote, "Lay me not with sweet spices, for this honor avails me not, nor yet use incense, perfumes, for the honor befits me not. Burn ye the incense in the holy place. As for me, escort me only with your prayers. Give me your incense. Give ye your incense to God, and over me send up hymns instead of perfumes and spices. Be mindful of me in your intercessions." Power of intercessions. But he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit and rightly called the harp of the Holy Spirit, Ken. You know,
amen.
We can't, you know, saying this, sharing this today, you know, after our contemplative prayer and after Mass when we had donuts and coffee, that, you know, I said that I would like to, in our contemplative prayer group, just to give a little talk on contemplative prayer before we even begin it, like go through the mansions and all. And you know, it's always that sacred word that helps us with the distractions when we sit and be still and just let God be God in us and to receive. But one of my first word with Monsignor Welsh, I was sharing when he was coming around, helping us to pray in tongues and leading us into the charismatic movement, that he would pray over us. And he would say, just try to get a word out. And I remember getting the gift of tongues. And my first word was Abba, Abba. You know, and I said, that's a great prayer word, Abba, because we're at our very end with the word Abba. And I thought about the Holy Spirit, where, you know, we hear that we can't even say Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And I can't go to the Father without the Holy Spirit. So when I say Abba, Daddy, God, Father, I'm in the arms of God. I'm in the arms of the Holy Trinity. I'm in communion with the Trinity. Because it's those two arms of the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, embraces us and draws us into that bosom of the pulsations of his heart, the fatherly love. And by the way, you know, we got Father's Day coming up. And Ken, my homily's always on God the Father on Father's Day. And I love preaching and proclaiming about God the Father, because without this Heavenly Father, the Eternal Father, you know, we have no fathers. He's the Father of all fathers. So I just want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and also in our blessing, Ken, we'll even give a blessing to all the fathers. I know we're coming to.
Yeah, we're at the hour, Father.
Okay, so here's a blessing, you know, for Rita, for who's been sickly, Phil's wife, and Butch, who's been away, for the repose soul of Jack Burns, and for all the fathers, all those who are suffering, and for all those in need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we praise and thank you for all the gifts, but especially for the gifts of your Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus, who just informs us and transforms us in your fatherly love. So bless us all with that providence of yours, that knowing how much we're loved by you. Bless us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Mother Mary, St. Joseph, all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father, for our listeners. Don't go away. Our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line. We'll be right back.